Welcome back to the special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors exploring ideas to improving government effectiveness. My guests today are Professors Kwan-ho Lee and Yong-hoon Kwok, authors of the recent IBM Center report, An Open Government Implementation Model, Moving to Increase Public Engagement. Professors, to date, little research has been done to investigate critical issues associated with open government. Your report proposes the open government implementation model for guiding government agencies through their journey to open government. Would you elaborate on this model, defining its four stages of implementation? And what is the thesis of this implementation model?
Yes, thank you. This is one of the first models that you'll ever see related to open government implementation. We are proposing four-stage open government implementation model to guide government agencies their journey to open government. The stage starts from increasing data transparency, which is stage one, and then moving on to improving open participation, which is stage two. And then enhancing open collaboration, which is stage three. And finally, realizing ubiquitous engagement, which is stage four. Each of the implementation stages contains the focuses, deliverables, benefits, challenges, best practices, and metrics in detail. You mentioned about the thesis. A thesis of the open government implementation model is that government agencies should advance their open government initiatives in a progressive and orderly manner. This could, in fact, be achieved by focusing on one implementation stage at a time, starting from stage one and incrementally climbing up to the next stage, up to stage four.
So, Professor Kwok, why is it critical that agencies follow the sequence of the model you've proposed?
Well, we do believe that there is a need for a logical sequence when advancing open government initiative. By following the sequence in our model, government agencies can effectively and completely harness the power of social media to engage the public. Our observations of several government agencies' open government initiatives suggest that the simultaneous or random implementation of multiple stages in fact causes many problems and challenges. These problems include or related to resources, budget, time, technology, cultural change, adoption by the public, and others. Therefore, by focusing on one implementation stage at a time, starting from stage one, the government agencies can effectively build infrastructure and capabilities for open government. This so-called stage approach will minimize the impact to government employees and to the public.
Professors, would you tell me more about the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services dashboard? What are some of the capabilities, outcomes, and challenges related to this effort, and to what extent does it reflect stage one in your implementation model?
Well, stage one focuses on publishing relevant data online and sharing it with the public. It is, in fact, relatively easy and, in fact, quick to achieve. There are two important tasks at this stage. One is identifying high-value, high-impact data for the public. And then the other is improving and assuring data quality in terms of accuracy, consistency, and timeliness. To elaborate the first point of identifying high-value, high-impact data, we believe that as a general rule of thumb, government agencies should focus on the top 20% of their data that would most benefit the public. To do so, a process and a governance structure should be in place to select the high-impact data. To elaborate on the second point related to improving and assuring data quality, we believe that it is very important that agencies assure the quality of data that will be open to the public, because the low-quality data often misinform and or mislead the public about government work and its performance. Accurate and up-to-date data is crucial for public participation and collaboration.
Stage two of the Open Government Implementation Model focuses on improving open participation for the public in government work and decision making. I'd like to get a sense of what the benefits are for increased open participation that you've outlined in your report. And to what extent do agencies at stage two gain momentum to nurture the open government culture and practice?
Well, open participation enhances policy decisions and government services by welcoming and utilizing the input of the public. And contrary to the more conventional feedback methods such as surveys and questionnaires and focus groups, social media allows the public to engage in more informal, spontaneous, and conversational interactions with government. So with increased open participation, agencies may be able to crowdsource the public's ideas, knowledge, expertise, and experience through voting, polling, contests, blogging, microblogging, and idea sharing. So this type of collective intelligence based upon a large number of individuals from diverse backgrounds really helps government agencies to make informed and reliable decisions. Open participation will enable the public to provide diverse feedback to agencies and reduce time and cost for innovation and increase the public's sense of community, if you will, with government agencies. But one caveat is that the agencies need to be able to respond to the public's feedback in a timely and consistent manner, because this is very critical. And this capability would require agencies to put in place formal processes, coordination mechanisms, and dedicated government employees.
So once government agencies increase data transparency and open participation, the next step, according to your report and what we've seen, is to foster open collaboration among government agencies, the public, and the private sector. What's the difference between open participation and open collaboration?
Well, we found that some federal agencies use open participation and open collaboration almost interchangeably and do not clearly distinguish between them in their open government plans, for instance. However, we believe that it is very helpful to differentiate between the two, as they require different types of technological and organizational capabilities, and also they produce different types of outputs. So open participation refers to public engagement in relatively simple interactive communications, such as blogging, microblogging, social networking, and bookmarking, tagging, and photo and video sharing, and idea sharing, and so on. It relies primarily on what we call expressive social media to connect with people and share their ideas. On the other hand, open collaboration refers to public engagement in more complex tasks and projects that aim to produce specific outputs. For example, group writing and editing of documents and wiki application development, open source software development, and organizing events in response to national emergencies or natural disasters. These are type of things that require open collaboration. So collaboration relies on collaborative social media, such as wikis and Google Docs and Jive social business software. And one more thing, when it comes to open collaboration, we found that some federal agencies focus mostly on interagency collaboration more than anything else. However, we would argue that in order to fully realize the power of mass collaboration, open collaboration should go beyond interagency collaboration and include the public and private sector as well.
Well, as we were putting together and looking at your report, I was pleased by how clear it was in terms of the stages. And with all the work that's going on in the federal space around this particular topic, I really think that your implementation model allows folks to get a sense of where certain agencies are. And in building up on stages 1 to 3, agencies in stage 4, which is the last part of your implementation model, take transparency, participation, and collaboration to the next level of public engagement. Agencies at stage 4 strive to achieve 2 important goals. Would you elaborate on those goals?
Sure. At stage 4, first of all, agencies make public engagement platforms and programs more easier to use and more accessible, primarily through mobile and ubiquitous computing devices and applications. So the public would use smartphones and tablets, desktops, laptops, you name it, even gaming devices to access public engagement services. Government websites and applications will be optimized for various different types of computing platforms. So that's the first goal of Stage 4. And secondly, public engagement methods, tools, and services will be seamlessly integrated within and across government agencies so that the public can easily navigate and engage in various types of government processes and activities without having to jump around different applications or keep logging in and out. Furthermore, at Stage 4, the government agencies, the public, the private sector, and other stakeholders will form and nurture a sustainable ecosystem and a virtuous cycle for effective public engagement.
Now, your report and your research identifies and offers a model, but it does also do something I think is very important, because with all these efforts on open government, how do you know you're actually achieving what you're supposed to be achieving? What's your effectiveness measure? So I want to ask, because I think your report does a very good job of laying this out, how are agencies measuring the effectiveness of their open government efforts? And more particularly, what's the difference between the use of process quantity metrics and outcome impact metrics in evaluating the success of these programs?
So those are very important questions to address. But we have not yet come across federal managers who are extremely satisfied with their current metrics for evaluating open government and public engagement performance. Well, metrics, as you know, are essential for pursuing open government initiatives. However, many existing metrics tend to measure process or quantity rather than outcome or impact. Process or quantity-centric metrics focus on measuring quantitative performance of public engagement processes. Some examples of this type of metrics are number of data sets published, for instance, or number of data downloads, or number of visitors, number of unique visitors, number of repeat visitors, and number of messages posted, and so on. But on the other hand, outcome or impact-centric metrics focus on measuring the business value of public engagement, both quantitatively and qualitatively. Some examples in this type of metrics are time and cost savings, quality and innovativeness of engagement outcomes, and user satisfaction. In the early stages of open government implementation, we recommend that agencies start with metrics that can objectively measure process performance first, because these metrics can be readily easily obtained. In later stages, however, agencies should start measuring outcome and impact, because that's what matters at the end of the day.
Professors Lee Kwok, why did you choose this area of open government to research for the IBM Center?
Well, I can start first. First of all, this new administration really puts emphasis on the open government initiative. So I thought that was very important. And then the whole new technology advancement, evolution, social media, this really triggers a great interest in how this could be applied and implemented to the open government initiative. So that's why we selected. I'm sure that Professor Lee could talk more about
sure.
it.
Sure. Well, I've been looking at how social media can transform not only the public sector, but also the private sector, commercial organizations for some time. And then a lot of people think that government is always or sometimes or often behind commercial organizations. But as I look at what's happening in Washington, D.C. and federal space, it was fascinating to see that with the determination coming from the White House and also from the top, and also the federal agency's response to those the directive of open government. Actually, a lot of interesting things are happening in Washington, D.C. in federal space. And then I would say there is a lot more than you think that commercial organizations can learn from federal agencies. So I thought it might be worthwhile looking at what it takes to realize the vision of open government, and then see what's happening, and then take the lessons from it, and then share it with not only with the federal agencies but also with commercial organizations.
How are federal agencies pursuing open government initiatives? We will focus on one particular agency, the Department of Health and Human Services, when this special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors, returns.